Some Christians and church is an optional part of life, something they see as merely an add-on when they have time. And if you remember, I had mentioned that the New Testament church in the book of Acts, the first church, that wasn't an option to them. They seen it as a very essential for their spiritual growth and for their life. So there were three things we had as a goal to learn from these lessons. This lesson is recognize the local church is essential component to the Christian life. We've already went over that. And then also to renew our own commitment to attendance and involvement in the local church. And then I don't know if we're going to have time, which would be the last one of our goals, is have confidence that Christ will preserve the church no matter what persecution may come. If this is your, if you want to fill in the blanks, we can go ahead and drop back to the first. Number one was for the faith, And we looked at that last week. We started back in this. And then letter A was the ministry of the church. And we've seen that the church does have a ministry. Remember, we studied that it's important to have a solid foundation to build upon. Any good building has a good foundation. Amen. Jesus said that if you're going to build, build on the rock. Right? Don't build on sand, because when trials come and storms come, your building's going to wash away and it won't stand. And how many of you know today that there's going to be a lot of storms in life if you're a believer? But there's a lot of storms if you're not a believer also. I mean, did not the Lord say that it rains on the just and the unjust? Just the same. Just the same. Then letter B was the message of the church. The message of the church. And so with that, we didn't end there, but I would like to read the text. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 15, it says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Every time I hear that, read that or hear that, I think, you know, we should take stock when we come into God's house. You know what I mean? Now, I know that this is just a building. I know that we are the church, the body of Christ ourselves. But, you know, we should have some reverence when it comes to the Lord's house and to God's, and to be around God's people and to worship the Lord. Verse 16 is where we were at, the message of the church, where, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. That's what we really ended with last week. So let's pray again. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would make it known to your people. I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O God, my King and my Redeemer. And Lord, I also pray it would be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name, amen. So the message was that God was manifest in the flesh, that God was justified in the spirit, that he was seen of angels, and he was preached unto the Gentiles. Aren't you glad today that everybody's somebody to Jesus? And then he was believed on in the world. The message of the gospel is a saving, life-changing message. And throughout the centuries and all around the globe, the good news of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed. There's no other medicine that can heal a man, woman, boy, or girl than the message that Jesus saves. Amen. You know, they asked Paul, they said, what do you know? He says, I know nothing save, I've determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knew that Jesus was the answer. You know, trust me, I know this, but don't just trust me. Trust the word of God. It's recorded, amen? It's life-changing. It's anybody with a testimony ought to know that, you know. I mean, I know for myself, I spent 30 years without the Lord and probably 15 years pretending like I knew the Lord where I didn't know the Lord. But when I came to know the Lord, it changed my life. Amen. It's the only thing. I mean, we, for years, and Dale and Chuck went, and Brother Doug and others, we'd go down to the Port of Hope. You know, they allowed us to go in there. The minister, the whole program's about dissolved now. I don't even think it's in existence, but, you know, they finally changed it to where, you know, we just couldn't go in anymore, and they were dissolving the whole program. And but we'd go in there, and we would minister to those that were in drug and alcohol recovery, and I don't know so much about them. I know that these men here that went in, they always gave them the gospel, but I'd always tell them, I'd say, hey, this is a good program, and it was.
Yeah.
But I said, if you really want to be successful and you really want to make a difference in your life, give your life to Christ.
Amen.
And it'll work. Because we've seen a lot of recidivism, or I don't know if I pronounce that right, but people that would, that we would see them there, then we might not see them for a year, and then they'd be back. Man, what are you doing back? You know? And a lot of times is they would not, you know, they wouldn't trust Christ. They wouldn't really just allow the Lord to turn your life around. But that's the message of the Lord believed on the in the world. And then we see that in the Bible, where the final validation of the truth of the message of Jesus is that he ascended back to his Father. He was received up into glory, Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood with them in white apparel, and which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." You know, we talked about that last week. You know, it was just, you know, it's like the angels rebuked him. What are you doing standing around? Come on. He's coming back. We need, you know, what are we doing standing around? We need to get with it, right?
Amen.
We should be out there sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
And being a part of people getting saved. Being a part of Christians that are out of sorts to get back into sorts, right?
Yeah.
As the one old preacher said, those that were backslidden, help them get upslidden, right? Help them get right with God.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. So letter C, we see here the methods of the church. The church is not an abstract concept or an invisible group, as some would believe. It is a physical, visible assembly of God's people together. That's what the word ecclesia means. It's an assembly. The church is an assembly of baptized believers commissioned to carry out the good news that Jesus Christ saved.
Amen.
You know, it's not this, you know, invisible, universal deal. It's not. You say, well, I'm a little confused about that. You know, there's a little booklet that I've been known to pass around. I got more. I got one here, and there's one on the back the bookshelf. You're happy to take it, read it. It's simple. It just simply says, what is a New Testament church? It is simply, it is so simple. It's a visible, local assembly of baptized believers. Here it is. You say, man, you're a simple guy. Well, you know, everyone likes pictures, right? But there's a lot of content in here too. But that's what he says in here. New Testament churches is an assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work, or hence the Great Commission. There's one here. There's another one. And if someone takes them and you want another one, I'd be happy to give you one. I'd be happy to go through it. We did that in class. I think Will and Brock and I just went through that little booklet there. And I'm telling you, it's just simple. Amen. Because there's a lot of bad doctrine out there. You say, what do you mean by that? There's a lot of bad teaching out there. We're just Bible people. We're simple Bible people, and we want to know what God says in His Word, simply.
Yep.
Amen? And then apply it to our lives, and then share it with others. Right? So we assemble, okay? The methods of the church, we assemble. Churches in the New Testament met together. The writers of Hebrews admonishes Christians to never forsake the physical assembly, but to use those times to give and receive encouragement and admonition. We need each other. I've said that a lot, you know. No man's an island. And I promise you, if you ever run across a Christian that says, I don't like organized religion. I don't like going to church. I don't like being around people. I got my own thing going with the Lord. I promise you that that person is not a very strong Christian. But if you have one or that's you, show me. You know what I mean? I told a man like that one time, and you know what? He got all fuzzed up and all his, my man, his back got all bowed. He wanted to fight. He turned all red in the face and all this. And I said, look, man, that's proof right there. He said, what are you talking about? I says, why are you getting so upset? Great peace have they that love the law, and nothing shall offend them. That was a fact right there that he's getting mad at me because I'm trying to encourage him to come to church and to be around believers. Amen?
Amen.
Believe it or not, I need you guys.
Amen.
You might not need me, but I need you. Amen? No, come on. We need each other.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you get separated from the body long enough, you'll know.
Amen.
I mean, Miss Christie was talking about the different parts, you know what I mean? Go ahead, separate your hand from your body after a while and see how good it works. I know that's kind of a crude principle, but it's the same thing. We need each other. Not everybody's a mouth like me, right? But some are eyes, some are nose. Hey, there's some people in here that might be a big toe, amen? But you need a big toe. My Uncle George lost his big toe, and he educated me when I was just a young little fella. And he told me, he says, hey, your big toe gives you balance. We need to be balanced, amen? So don't ever let anybody make fun of you because you're a big toe in the body, right?
Pastor, I heard one of like, oh, you could be the skin of your elbow. He goes, but that works the forklift.
The forklift.
The forklift.
The old forklift, yeah. That's a good Baptist one right there, brother, huh? Listen to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We should want to be gathering more and more and more as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draws and the rapture draws closer and closer. God's people need to be gathered. We need to hear the Word of God preached and taught. We need to encourage and comfort one another and to help one another. Churches who never assemble are not biblical churches. And Christians who never assemble with their church family are not obedient Christians. I mean, there was a time, and it kind of happened here, but not as much as it happened in Gooding. I don't know why. But there was literally, I had people come up to me and say, hey, I seen so-and-so. I said, well, who's that? They said, oh, no, Salt Rock's their church. Salt Rock Baptist Church is their church. I said, who are you talking about? They say, oh, they look like this and that and that. Maybe they attended one time I wasn't there or something or whatever, but, you know, we need to be together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other, amen? Not only do we assemble as the methods of our church, but we worship. When we meet together, we also worship the Lord together. You know, you can say all you want about Scott Bryce. I know he's rough around the edges. But I'm telling you what.
Good
I love him, man. And you pray for him as he's really suffering working in Hawaii this week. But one thing about him, every you can ask Tina, every single time he talks about coming to church, he goes, "I'm coming to worship, brother. I'm coming to worship." He goes, "I'll be at worship. Worship, worship, worship." You know. And I and what it tells me is he wants to be around the people. He wants to be here. Amen. So when we meet together, we also worship God together. Though through the course, we should worship and give thanks to God individually. But listen to this. There's something special about Christians joining their hearts and voices corporately and giving glory to God for all he has done for us. You can't replace that. And I hope if there's people watching online, don't tune me out. But it ain't the same. It ain't the same. And I thank the Lord for people that are tune in online. Sometimes that's the only means. Sometimes people are shut in and they can't come to church for whatever reason. Amen. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that, and it's humbling that someone would even take time to watch a service, right? But there's nothing like being here. Amen. And being together. Amen. See, as a group, we lift up one another as we magnify his name and bring our offering of praise and worship that he desires. In the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. I'm glad he said that twice. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Not only that, the methods of the church, we are to give. Amen. See, sometimes we think worship as something only that happens through music or accompaniness, or a posture such as being on our knees or lifting up our hands. But it's important way we worship is by giving. Do you know that giving is a form of worship? You know what you're doing when you're giving? We talked about that in our class. Is it's simply putting God first. That's all it is. You say, "Oh, man, there he goes. Preacher circled back around. He's going to talk about money." Listen. We don't want your money, amen? You won't hear a lot of preachers say that. We don't want your money. Because you know what? It isn't our money anyways. It's the Lord's money. Amen. If you want to be a part of it, hallelujah, glory to God, amen? But I'm telling you, that is a form of worship. You know why? Is because I don't want this or what's in this to control me. Right? We were talking about that, right? I just want to put God first. I want to give him his. The Bible says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart." You say, I'll pick on a family member that's not here. Amen. It's one of my siblings, right? They're not here. And he's always saying, "Man, every time I go to church, they're building a parking lot or something. They're always wanting some money." I said, "Brother, you're just convicted, man." You know what I mean? God just wants you to put him first. And you put him first by your finances. Amen. That's simply it. And he'll bless you. Amen. He says, "Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it?" Amen. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And the same measure that you measure with will be measured back to you again." As you give liberally to the Lord, he will give liberty back to you, liberally back to you. As you shovel in, he shovels back. Amen. And he's got a bigger shovel than you got. I'm telling you. Listen to what Paul told the church at Corinth to give proportionally to God's blessing, right? Each Sunday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to all the churches in Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay aside and store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. The first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. That's why we take a public offering. You say, but preacher, can't people give throughout the week? Sure, that's why we have an offering box. But symbolically, we do, and even out of tradition to a certain degree, but that we pass the offering plate, but it is a reminder to us and the leadership of this church and as a pastor and for you all that we're giving to the Lord. Listen, we're giving to the Lord. Amen. And we want to do it the first. We want to start the week off right. Amen. Amen. The church is an essential, listen, the giving in the church is essential to propagate the gospel throughout Coeur d'Alene and the surrounding areas. Why do we give to missions? Because we want to be a part of what they were doing, what Brother Corley's doing on his field, amen, what Brother Thomas is doing in Ukraine. Yeah. We want to be a part of that, you know, the Herzls in Vanuatu, you know. The Byers in Oregon, you know. Brother Grover starting a church in Montana. I want to be a part of that.
Amen.
You know, go out and spread the gospel to Judea and Samaria, right, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to be a part of it. Amen. And we as Christians need to recognize that it is an essential aspect of the local church to engage in attendance, worship, and giving. And that's necessary for us to have a healthy body. So we're going to go. That was point number one. So number two is the essential of the nature of the local church is for the family. For the family. Timothy, to whom Paul addressed our text verse, Paul addressed this word of God to Timothy, but it's for all of us today. And Timothy was... He was a young pastor. Paul was the older pastor, and he was mentoring him, and Timothy later became the pastor of the church of Ephesus. But you see here that Timothy grew up in a family with a godly mother and grandmother, but apparently his father was unsaved or absent. The Bible says that Timothy's father was a Greek, and there's nowhere where it's recorded that he was saved or had faith, but his mother sure did, and his grandmother sure did. Amen. There's a lot to be said about you pouring into your children,
amen,
the word of God.
Amen.
Don't let the world or the flesh or the devil discount that in any way, shape, or form. You are making the best investment you can ever make is investing in your child the word of God. The psalmist said, lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That means the psalmist was proud that he had parents that were able to invest in him the word of God. So that's why we're here on this number two is for the family. 2 Timothy 1:15 says, And Paul's talking about Timothy here. He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Paul says, Timothy, I'm remembering your faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder if that's going to be said about us, Dale. You know, as a father or as a grandfather, you know, someone's going to tell my son, my daughter, or my grandson or my granddaughter, you know, that your grandfather or your papa was a man of God, or your nana was a woman of God. Amen. We should try the best we can to make a difference. Some having compassion, making the difference. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, Paul says, and well, Acts records this, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. He's talking about his mom. But his father was a Greek. Amen. But his father was a Greek. That's all it said about Timothy's father. But his father was a Greek. Timothy's mother and his grandmother, however, taught him the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We should do everything we can to teach our children the Word of God. And I know we just studied the importance of a Christian education, but I'm telling you, don't ever discount that. We live in a world right now that's doing everything to undermine the power of the gospel and the power of teaching Christian principles to our children. If you look on any form of the media, you'll see that Christianity is a joke to them. Amen. They demean the father's role in the family.
Right.
You know, he's just the idiot, you know. Come on now, I'm being serious here, right?
Yeah.
And you wonder why we got the problems in the public schools. Now all the children are being empowered to literally tell the teachers what they should be doing. There's no discipline. Listen, we're raising a generation of thugs. It's crazy. It's crazy. But it doesn't matter what the world does. But we can do it. See, we can be overwhelmed by that stuff. But we can do what we can do. Amen?
Yep.
With the power of the gospel. I want you to pray for a Christian school that's trying to get started in our community. Do you remember the name, Tina? The Waymakers. Pray for them. They've already got over 150 students. They're probably going to start with 200 students. They need to start now.
They need a building.
They need a building. And I had mentioned our little space that we could rent on the other side that our landlord said we could sublease out. That probably wouldn't even take care of their office.
Yeah.
They need like an 8,000 square foot building now.
Wow.
So pray for them. Amen. Pray for them that they can get over there. The director of it and the principal of the whole thing's name is Diane and her husband Darren. And they're actually our neighbors, our new neighbors across the street. So pray for them as they get going. And God bless people like that. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, Chuck, do you ever regret homeschooling your kids and bringing them up and nurturing the admonition of the Lord? Amen. It was just a blessing the other night to see the play with the majority of them kids were homeschooled and amen, talented.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. We need to do that. It's a great, great investment. It's an investment you'll never, never regret. See, for Christians, from any type of family structure, saved or unsaved, two parents or single parent, child, teen, single, adult, or married, a strong church family is essential for growth. Amen. Doesn't matter what background you did. Doesn't matter how you got started. You can start now.
Amen.
You know, my favorite saying has been the last couple of years, though no one can ever go back and have a brand new start, anyone can start from now and have a brand new ending.
Amen.
Can start from now. Make a difference now. You know, my daughter Abby gives me a hard time about my saying, you know, what's the best time to plant an oak tree? Well, it'd be 25 years ago. Say amen, right? When's the second best time?
Now.
Today. And you say, well, you ain't going to be around to enjoy that shade. It doesn't matter. They can say I planted it, right? See, a healthy local church is to a Christian family what potting soil is to a plant. It provides an environment to flourish and to reinforce the truths that the parents are teaching at home. And it provides young people with living examples of others who believe what they are being told. These aspects of the church are especially important as the culture becomes more and more hostile towards the truth of Christianity. Letter A was a place to learn. One of the chief purposes of the church is to train and equip Christians to live as God commands. Every family needs that input. Parents need to be reminded of their vital role and need to be given the tools to effectively bring up the children who have been entrusted to their care. Children need to be reminded to honor and obey their parents and to look for God's purpose for their lives. All of this is part of a healthy church environment. Nobody naturally, listen to this, nobody naturally knows the will of God. But as a church and other Christians and the Word of God, it will be revealed to them. I never knew the will of God until I got saved and I got into a church and I got around people. I'm telling you, I can tell you right now, when I knew I was called to preach the Word of God, I was in a Bible study, studying, just something like we always do. It was kind of like that Continue book, but it was a different one. It's called Experiencing God. I was with the Southern Baptist Convention. Some of you might know it, Experiencing God. I was studying that, and I remember the place that we were studying. We were studying in John 15 and 5, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch. If a man abideth in me, and I in him, he'll bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
And Henry Blackaby was stating and teaching on the principle that the Christian life many times is like a garden, and the head gardener there is Jesus Christ, and he's down there, and he's gardening, and he's tilling the soil. Right? Come on now,
yeah.
Right? He's planting, he's watering, right? Sometimes he's doing the harvest. He's trying to do the work of God. That's what he said. He said, my Father sent me to do the work, so I work. Amen? I work while it's day. Amen?
Right.
The night cometh when no man can work, right? And the principle was, as believers, and we see God, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we see God working in this world and tilling the soil and getting his hands dirty. God doesn't need you to stand on the side of the garden and say, Lord, how about if I just sing a beautiful song for you? Right?
Yeah.
Hey, Lord, how if I show you how athletic I am or whatever, right? No, no, no. You know what God wants? God wants you to get down in the dirt with him.
Amen.
And make a difference.
Amen.
Do his will. See, because apart from him, you can do nothing, zilch, zero. He wants you to be a part of it. And I'm telling you, when that principle broke through in my mind, I said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to do it. But, Lord, I want to be a part of that.
Amen.
And as a result of that and that surrender, God led me to a call to preach and teach his word. Amen.
Amen.
I remember when that deacon in that church, Jerry Lloyd, came to me and he goes, hey, I want you to teach my class next Sunday.
Yeah.
I said, what are you talking about? You got to understand, at that time, I probably had maybe a fifth grade education.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, some of you might have seen me spell. You say, I don't know if you've made it to sixth grade yet. But I'm telling you what, all I did, as I said, okay.
Yep.
I couldn't even believe I said that.
Wow.
And it was from that.
Yep.
And then poor people suffered hard, amen? Luckily, they all came back when he came back, you know. He's able to retain his class. It's a place of growth. Remember the verse. Remember the verse. I'll close with this. So mark your spot on your little outline. We'll try to get finished. This verse has meant so much to me, and it's continuing to mean so much to me because of learning about Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter closes his two epistles by this. And if you know anything about Peter, you'd understand. Peter never stopped growing. Peter was the one that was seemed like he was in trouble with the Lord a lot. But, you know, you say, well, I'm not like Peter. I know. No one in this room's ever been in trouble with the Lord. Come on now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We stumble, we fall. It's called growth. We need to grow, amen? Right? And Peter says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Out of the last thing he said, in both of his books, Peter says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your people today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can know you in a real, real way. So, Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to just work amongst us. Lord, there might have been some things said and shared out of your word that no doubt would have convicted some hearts. I pray that they would respond to that. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that's never been saved, that if they were to die today, they're not sure that they would die. If they were to die tonight, that they would go to heaven. Lord, I pray that you would save their soul. I pray that you would help them to surrender their pride and have someone here take the Bible and show them how they can know if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. And Lord, for those that do know that, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them. I pray that you would help them to not allow pride to have its place in their lives, that they would be surrendered to you. There might be things in their life they need to surrender today. And Lord, help them, as Peter said, to grow in grace. Help us to never get to the place, dear God, to where we refuse to grow and learn more about you. So Lord, be with this invitation time as the piano plays. In your name, Christ, we pray, amen. You come now, with every head bowed and every eye closed.